Welcome, everyone. I'm Reba Sparrow, and today, communication is key on the Mystery Box Show podcast. Hey, everybody, have we got a tale for you today? I remember first meeting Dirty Lola when she flew out to do the show, and I remember thinking, this gal's like a big deal sex educator. I'm going to be intimidated by her. I don't know how I'm going to feel around her. And then we meet and it's like instant BFFs and just the most open, friendly, kind, funny. I can't say enough good things. And I hope you're going to enjoy this story as much as I enjoy her and this story. Please welcome into your ear holes, Dirty Lola.
At 16 years of age, I thought it would be a really great idea to lose my virginity in a threesome. Because I felt like it would be less awkward that way. And that might sound a little shocking and like, what were you doing thinking of threesomes? But I went to high school in New York and it was super progressive. Our high school gave out STD tests and condoms, and we had a daycare for mothers who had children. So it wasn't weird to be thinking about these things because a lot of the kids I went to school with were openly gay and we talked about sex. Although we didn't call it sex parties, it was called hanging out. And instead of Netflix and chill, it was Blockbuster and chill. Because it was the 90s. Yes, Blockbuster. So I talked to my boyfriend at the time. His name was Adam. And we sat on his bed in his room after making out. And I said, you know, I think I want to do it. I want to do it. But I think we should ask Liz. And Liz was this fever dream 90s fantasy girl. She was short and she had wavy brown hair and little freckles and her eyes sparkled in the sunlight and her wide legs swished just so in the wind when she walked in the hallways. She was fucking magic. And I wanted to fuck her and my boyfriend. So we decided a good time to do that would be at one of the regular sex parties that we had at my friend Peter's house. On half days when our parents thought we were still in school, but really we were at Peter's house fucking. So we go to Peter's house and regularly to get in, you had to take a shot of some kind of liquor. And it wasn't just to be edgy. It was kind of like, fuck you, you're drinking because you will not tell your parents that you were here because we're going to tell them you fucking drank. It was like a blood oath, but with Jack Daniels. And we would normally have to set the scene of, it's a tiny New York apartment, so you walk in the door and you're in the living room, and the kitchen's to your left. Yeah, this is my left. And the bathroom's to your right. And there's two bedrooms, and then like the living room is just like the main room. And we would normally sit there and we would watch porn or Angelina Jolie movies. Usually Gia or Original Sin. Those were like our favorites. So on this day, we were watching Original Sin, and it was at that point in the movie, you know, like after they did a job, she'd get a tattoo or a brand, I forget, while he anally fucked her. Yes, anal sex and tattoos. This was a thing. Go look it up. It's really good. And this scene is in the movie, and this was usually the point when anybody there who wanted to get like frisky, people would start making out and touching and groping. Somebody's toe would end up in somebody's mouth. It would just, you know, normal things teenagers do. And I'm sitting next to Liz, and she's like on my left side, and Adam's on my right, and I'm like, girl, yes. And I look at her, and she looks at me, and we lean in, and we start to kiss, and the zippers of our hoodies are rubbing together. And I slowly unzip her hoodie so I can get my hand under her ringer tee to touch her boob. And she's unzipping my hoodie to get to my boobs, and which was easy, you know. And we're making out and touching. And if anybody remembers wide legs, the crotch was like down here, so you could never touch anybody's pussy. You'd be like this, and you're like, that's not my pussy, it's my pants. So, I know we're new at this, but no. So you'd have to like do some unbuckling, and we're starting to unbuckle, and she was feeling a little shy. So we decided to go into Peter's father's room, because you know, it's always a good idea to fuck on your friend's father's bed. Make it better, memories. So we go in and there's already people in there kind of making out. We find some space on the bed and I'm so excited. Like, I'm gonna have a threesome. I'm gonna lose my virginity. Well, I'm gonna lose my PMV virginity. Back then we thought we were just doing foreplay, but fuck it. We were already fucking. So we're laying on the bed and I'm unzipping her hoodie and yanking off her wide legs. It's all this fucking fabric and just enjoying the moment and making out with her. And then Adam gets in and I'm like, yay. I didn't know what compersion was back then, but I was feeling it. It's like, this is great. And he's making out with her and I'm enjoying it. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to get over here. Okay. No, okay. I'm gonna touch your boob. No, dick. No, I can't. And they're like rolling away from me. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? This is not how it's supposed to go. And because I was so mature, I ran away and hid in my friend Peter's closet. And I stayed there until everybody left. And then I stayed there until Peter said, get the fuck out of the closet. My dad is coming home. You're going to fuck everything up. And I went home and I cried my eyes out. Because I just wanted to lose my fucking virginity already. And I was sad because this girl that I was so fucking attracted to and this boy that I thought I loved had just fucking dissed me. And I was like, fuck this shit. So the next day at school, I'm like, black hoodie, black pants. I'm in mourning, but I'm here. I can do this. And everybody pretended nothing happened. Adam didn't talk to me about it. Liz didn't talk to me about it. I'm the only one like, did nobody remember what happened? My hand was up your shirt. And shortly after that, a couple weeks before graduation, Adam broke up with me. And we had never talked about it. And Liz and I were kind of friends, but after that I was like, fuck you, bitch. And we never talked about it. So 14 years later, I find myself in a place where I'm like, oh, I like threesomes, but not just for the sake of threesomes, because surprise, I'm polyamorous. Yes. And it was amazing. And this was the beginning. And I find myself with a man I love and a girl who is amazing. And she had curly brown hair and freckles and sparkly brown eyes. And the little 16-year-old in the back of my head is like, bitch, you've been here. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I was like, shut up. She's pretty. We're going to fuck her. And I did. My claim to fame with my husband is that I fucked her first. And that's how you got her to be your girlfriend. You're welcome. But then it came time for the three of us to be together, or in some fashion to be together. And we found ourselves at a play party that was full of other partners that we had. So her husband was there. She was also dating another woman. And we had all been hanging out. So it was like all of us on a queen size bed, which six people on a queen size bed still doesn't fucking work. Somebody's butt cheeks are going to be hanging off. It's just not going to work. And I was super excited. And I'm, okay, oh, there's a lot of dick here and pussy. I'm going to touch everything, but I specifically want to be touching these two people. And it started out okay. And then at some point, they rolled over and they were very involved. And I got a little sad. And then I looked to my left and I was like, dick, okay, I'm happy, fine, let's do it. Okay, that's good. And I had amazing sex. But there was still that 16-year-old in the back of my head who's like, it happened again. You let it happen again. How did you let it happen again? And so instead of hiding in my friend Peter's closet, because that would be really fucking hard, since he doesn't live in that apartment anymore, I went and I had a conversation with my husband and his soon-to-be girlfriend. And I let them know what was going on and how I was feeling. And it turns out they just thought I was giddy over other dick and pussy and that they were in my way and just letting me kind of be. And I was like, well, I mean, can we do this some other time then? When there's like less dick and pussy in the room for me to get giddy about? I get distracted. It happens. Fucking happens. But that day, after that conversation, 6-year-old me had gotten justice. I was like, we finally did it. You know, we talked it out, we didn't hide, and we learned a good lesson that good things happen to those who communicate.
That was Dirty Lola, everyone. Truly, I can't say enough good things about Lola. You know, she is a sex educator, a podcaster, a performer, an all-around incredible person. I really love her vulnerability in this story. And just, you know, when it boils down to it, isn't communication really the key to everything? Even in your sex life, sure, but outside of it as well. And I think that this story really brings a point to that, that we so often get in our own heads and we think that we know what the other person is thinking or the other people are thinking, and that it's so obvious that everyone's on the same page. But the truth is that we don't know what other people are thinking because we're not mind readers, and other people are not mind readers either. So how can we expect them to know what we want if we don't actually tell them? And to be honest, speaking from a woman's perspective, I'm a female identified person, I think that women for decades and decades and decades and even a century or centuries back have been taught by society, by our families, even by well-meaning female leaders and well-meaning, you know, our mothers and grandmothers and aunts and sisters, etc., that women need to keep quiet. You know, that's a dated way of thinking of things, but I think that it's ingrained in our beings to the point where we often in modern times are just now starting to come around to the idea that, oh, it's okay for women to speak up and to ask for what we want. I think that's why it's so hard for so many of us to come to that realization. You know, it's interesting because we are actually born with the desires and the freedom to express our needs and wants as young people and as children. And slowly as we get older, we are taught to repress that, to say, you know, don't speak up for your needs. It's not polite to say what you want, et cetera, et cetera. And then that bleeds into our sex lives to the point where we don't know that it's okay to communicate until someone comfortably, you know, makes us feel comfortable and safe enough that we're not going to get in trouble. We're not going to get shut down. We're not going to be rude. We're not going to be, quote, bad women, et cetera, if we express our wants and desires. And that's just a theory that's where that's coming from. But for me, that holds true. And I hope that Lola's story can serve as an example that it's okay. And in fact, I've often heard from partners that like, thank you for telling me what you need because it takes the pressure off of me. So definitely keep those lines of communication open in your sexy adventures with your partners. And this is an invitation to keep those lines of communication open with us at the Mystery Box Show. We would love to hear from you. Let us know what you thought of Lola's story. You can find us at mysteryboxshow.com. Keep an eye out for Lola's sexy Q&A show, Sex Church with Hunter, on selfservetoys.com. You can also find her on Twitter and Instagram at Dirty Lola. We'll have all of those links for you in the show notes. You can also pitch your story to us, and you may end up on one of our live stream shows or right here on the podcast. Directions for how to pitch a story are also at mysteryboxshow.com, and we'll have those links in the show notes as well. You can support us by subscribing to this podcast, giving us a 5-star rating, and writing a review. It really helps us out. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/mysteryboxshow, where you can interact with us on an even more personal level. personal basis. Our music comes from our friend Farnell Newton and the Other Ship Connection. Our audio engineer is Greg Keenan at Sound Minion Studios in Longmont, Colorado. Thanks to our production assistant, Nicole Perkins, my co-producer, Eric Scheuer. I'm your mistress of ceremonies, Reba Sparrow, reminding you to register to vote and then to get out there and vote. On our next episode, we get all wrapped up in San Francisco.
And then he gets a roll of saran wrap out. And he starts saran wrapping my legs together. And he goes from my ankles over my shins. And he leaves my dick and my ass exposed. And he goes over my torso. And he binds really tight.
We'll see you next time on the Mystery Box Show podcast.